Baker. Good afternoon, everyone. Harvey said, what a beautiful Sabbath day, and I got a chuckle because of the rain. And I said, I shouldn't chuckle. Every Sabbath day is a beautiful day. This isn't what the weather is. So I apologize for chuckling. Well, brethren, I guess you heard the news. There's a new king. Anybody didn't hear that news? There is a new future king just born. George Alexander Lewis, Prince of Cambridge. Checked into the world a few days ago at just over 8 pounds. He is to be third in line to the throne of Great Britain. And he will be the fifth or sixth King George, I'm not sure which, if and when he ever takes the throne, which is a questionable thing at this moment. Now, for some reason, and I'm still not sure, I thought about this all week, but for some reason, much of the world seems enthralled by the birth of a new prince into the world. Even though the royalty in Great Britain is now largely symbolic, the current Queen Elizabeth has no real legislative powers and is merely a figurehead of state for Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, much of the Caribbean, and a few other small countries. Now, that's a lot, I grant you, but it's honorary. It's not really official. She has no power to make or change laws and no power to enforce or ignore them. Well, she may ignore them when it comes to her own family, but other than that, no. The Queen meets with her Prime Minister once or twice a year to say, hey, how things are going? Okay, good, see ya. That's pretty much it. No wonder she remains so popular with the people in Britain, because she's not allowed to mess things up. She'll do anything, you can't make people mad. So what will life be like for baby Prince George? What does a prince and a family of princes do? What does the future King of England do to prepare to be a king? Well, according to one article I read in the Wall Street Journal, he will be raised by nannies and nurses to cater to his every whim. He will attend the finest and most expensive private schools to learn many things. Won't learn the Bible, but he'll learn, some things in the Bible. His life will be planned from beginning to end, and he does not have a care in the world for as long as he lives. A life of indulgence and ease. He will be taught that he is to be king and to act kingly, and will be educated by many people as to what exactly does that mean. He will never have to worry about money. He will never have to worry about being alone. He will never have to worry about compromise or about getting along with other people. In fact, others will be required to get along with him. Or else, others will be required to give to him and not him to others. He will be given the best of everything all the time as his right, and he will not have a care in the world. He will not even have to worry about his subjects. Because as I said, the monarchy is largely symbolic and ceremonial and has no real power over the people or, I might add, responsibility. The government is run by the Prime Minister and the Parliament, and they run the country. They rule over the subject regardless of what the king or queen may want or not want. So why all this strange attraction to the new prince? The interesting thing to me is that this is not the life that God expects of his kings and princes. We, brethren, are destined to be kings and priests in God's kingdom. And we are called to a life much different than what baby Prince George is going to grow up in, or anybody in the royal family for that matter. The Feast of Trumpets is a good time to remind ourselves of this. If you would please turn to the first scripture today, Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. If I were to be asked, and I have been on one or two occasions, if I were to be asked, what is your favorite scripture in the whole Bible? It would be very difficult for me to say, but I would say this one would be right up there with them. Revelation 5 and verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed them to God, as it should be, by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made them kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." If I had to pick a favorite, this one is one of them. We are called to be kings, brethren. We are all to be rulers in God's holy kingdom, which is an infinitely higher calling than anything baby Prince George can imagine. And that he will inherit just based on who conceived him, and for no other reason. The Feast of Trumpets reminds us of the true king. The Feast of Trumpets reminds us that the King of Kings is coming back to rule this earth over all nations forever and ever. Turn, if you would please, back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Ezekiel and Daniel. Okay. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel 7:13. "I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." That's how you make an entrance. "He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." No king today can say that. Over in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. This is the way King of Kings will come back to the world. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64. Verse 64, "Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" Won't be a helpless little baby anymore. What kind of life did the future King of Kings of all mankind have to endure on this earth? What kind of training did Jesus have for his future role as King of Kings? Was he raised by nannies? Did he go to the best expensive private schools? Did he consort only with other kings and princes? Turn back to Matthew chapter 2. I know you all know the answer. Nothing new here, brethren. I'm just commenting on pop culture today. It's been all over the headlines all week. Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born on the run. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" That's not happening to baby George. He was born on the run, born in humble surroundings among humble parents. Mary was a simple girl, and Joseph was a carpenter. No palace to live in or play in. One of several, by the way, that they have. Turn back to Luke chapter 2. I forget how many palaces they have, but I think it's at least a dozen different places to play, that they have different residences. Wonder how they decide who gets which one. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 39. "So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." His parents were faithful parents. They went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. I wonder if King George's parents are going to do that. Drop down to verse 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus Christ was not raised by others. He was raised by the God-fearing parents that God had given him. He did not attend fancy private schools, but he grew in wisdom and stature around his peers. Stature here could mean maturity and not just size. Jesus was also a carpenter by trade, as his father was, not an RAF pilot. Jesus grew up around the people he came to serve and love. He knew them, he knew their lives, he knew their struggles. Jesus knew how difficult the lives of the people were that he came to serve because he observed it and lived it firsthand. Here's another one, Matthew chapter 4. I wonder if Prince George is going to have to go through this. Matthew chapter 4. I wonder if this is a role that the king has to do when he comes of age. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. You think King George is going to have to fast 40 days and 40 nights? Baby Prince George will never have trials like these. Everything will be handled for him. Not so, the King of Kings. Luke chapter 22. This is the price of kingship in God's kingdom. Luke 22, verse 28. Jesus speaking to his disciples, Luke 22, verse 28. But you are those who have continued with me in my happiness and in my life of luxury. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Does anyone think that baby Prince George will ever have to wash feet as Jesus Christ did in John chapter 13? I feel pretty certain saying, as I stand here, that will never happen to anybody in a royal family, or they will ever be called upon to do anything like that. The Feast of Trumpets, brethren, reminds us that Jesus Christ is coming back to be the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all creation, and what he endured to earn that title. It should also remind us of our own calling to be kings as well, and the things we have to learn to receive that crown of glory. We need to learn the lessons Christ learned and be overcomers. Revelation 21. I don't think King George will ever be asked to be an overcomer. Revelation, what does he have to overcome? Revelation 21. I don't think Prince William is ever going to say this to his son. He who overcomes, verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Over and over again, we hear about overcoming and struggles and difficulties. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 again. This time reading in verse 12. Breaking into the thought, Revelation 5, 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." They don't say that when they say God saved the king who was slain. They say God saved the king Long live the king in England. Revelation 2, chapter 2, a couple pages over. Revelation 2, chapter and verse 7. Revelation 2 and verse 7, speaking to the churches, us. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Verse 26, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. That's when you become worthy of kingship in God's kingdom, brethren. We need to experience a life of struggle and some pain to qualify for kingship with God. What kind of overcoming do you think baby Prince George will have to face in his life? I don't think any. I can't think of any at the moment. Why must we? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Is it hard to have compassion with somebody you don't understand, never been around, never lived with, have no idea how they live their life? Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the thing which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's how you qualify. Brethren, the trumpet of God will sound the arrival of the King of Kings to this earth to rule forever and ever, and we will help him. We must learn to persevere as he did and to learn obedience as he did in order to be the serving kings God wants us to be. Matthew 24, Matthew chapter 24. This is how the king should make an entrance to let everybody know that he's arrived. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew 25, turn one page over. Verse 20, what is our part in this? We are going to be given a reward, a crown of life, it says. How do we get it? Matthew 25, verse 20. So he had received the 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you, Phil, ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. See, you have to do something to earn kingship, brother. God expects things. Daniel, turn back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. This is something that I don't think baby King George will know anything about. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, not leaving anything out, including Great Britain, the Caribbean, Australia, New Zealand, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Think of it, brethren. Christ is the King of Kings. He does not have to share this with us, but he will. The trumpet will be sounding for our time, too, if we think about it. Romans chapter 8. I'm sure there was a pretty big celebration over there in London when the baby was born, but what kind of celebration is going to happen when this trumpet sounds? Romans chapter 8, and verse 16 is very clear. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Baby Prince George is the children of William and Kate. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Of what? The throne, the kingdom. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Oh, see, there's that other part there. Not raised by nannies, not living in riches, not going to private schools. Indeed, we suffer with him. Well, that's the part people don't like. Verse 18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Are we preparing, brethren? We should be preparing for kingship. But not as Prince George will be preparing. We will not be attending the finest private schools. We will not be attending the school of hard knocks. We will be attending the school of hard knocks. In order to be serving kings that God wants us to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What school did you go to? I attended the school of hard knocks. That's why God has chosen me. I was successful. 1 Corinthians. Verse 9, chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And there's a list of things there that you cannot do to be in God's kingdom and to inherit his kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul understood this principle. Paul understood what was the stake and what was involved. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8, finally, brethren, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Empathy, brethren. Empathy for the people is what's missing, what we need. Hebrews chapter 4. Hard to have empathy when you've been raised in seclusion. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15, for here's the key part. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have somebody that understands us, brethren, who can lead us, and therefore we need to understand so that we can lead. Empathy, brethren, empathy for the people, understanding of what the people are and what the people face in this world of sin. Baby George, in my opinion, will never be taught this or understand this in the way God wants us to. He'll be protected from it. Brethren, the trumpet will be for us too. We shall be made kings and priests at Christ's return, but not like baby George, who will live a life of leisure all his days. We must learn to be submissive and obedient servant kings to the Lord God Almighty, who will make it so because he wills it to be and trusts us to do it when it happens. It's not a knock on the royal family, they just don't understand. Brethren, the trumpet of God will announce the arrival of the King of Kings to this earth to make all things new and equitable. Not a human king with human flaws, but a Lord of Lords who will rule over all with power and with love and with compassion and righteousness to be a blessing to the people. That's what a king should do. And we will be there to help him if we learn the lessons of true kingship that God wants us to learn. Do we hear the trumpet call, brethren? Are you ready for it? If this was your last Sabbath, would you be ready for the trumpet call? Do we want to answer the trumpet call when Christ returns to rule and allows us to help him rule justly and righteously with power and with love and with compassion? Let us work to become the kings and priests that God wants us to be. Are we growing in grace and knowledge as we're commanded to be? Not in expensive private schools, but in the school of hard knocks, as was Christ's example? Are we learning to be compassionate kings so that we can rule with Christ? Yes, and enforce God's law of love, but also love and benevolence and understanding for the people that God gives us to rule over. Brethren, the trumpet blast of God will announce the arrival of the King of Kings and will be the most awesome thing in the history of the world. It will also announce our sonship and kingship with Jesus' return. And the attention given to us that day will dwarf anything that baby Prince George is getting now. And God is a hands-on parent. Hebrews chapter 12. We're not going to be taught or raised by strangers. We are being taught by the Word Himself. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to us as sons. My son, he calls us, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, as we will be and are. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives to himself. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? I wonder how much chastening baby George is going to experience in his life. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. And I'm sure there's a lot of respect in the royal family. I don't doubt that. Shall we not much more readily be subject in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, to teach us something, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, it's necessary. Why? Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. David said, if you're going to rule over men, you must be a righteous man. That's how you get it. We are not raised and controlled by nannies, brethren. We are to learn from the Word Himself and become as He Himself is. My question is, are we preparing ourselves for the trumpet blast? Are we preparing to be the kings God wants us to be? Let us learn the lessons of kingship God wants us to learn so that we can be the kings God wants us to be.